Peace was procured at the cross. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, we have a world that's, since Adam, never been at peace. There's been turmoil somewhere or other because of sin and Satan. And he made peace through the blood of his cross. This peace is peace between God and man, not peace between man and man. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So Jesus obtained peace between man and God. That peace that was broken, that peace that was disrupted by Adam in the Garden of Eden when he sinned. And Jesus come to bring peace between God and man. The gospel, when the gospel's preached, peace is in the gospel, or to be found in and through the gospel. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14, I believe it is. Ephesians, the second chapter. And verse 14, the Bible says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, 2 and 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall, a partition between us. Now, that wall was established with Adam. Jesus. And Adam, that was that first Adam, Jesus is referred to as the second man Adam. And that second man Adam came and established peace once again, or a means by which man can make peace with God. That's essentially the situation. Peace is possessed by believers in Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith. And notice this, it's through faith in Jesus that we can receive that peace. It's therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And don't have peace with man, we have peace with God. Matter of fact, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but he said, I came to bring a sword. That sword is the word of God. It's the truth. And he said it would set father against son, mother against daughter, and so forth and so on. And so the peace that he came to bring by faith was peace between man and God. It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A man tries every way he can to make peace on his own, but there's no peacemaking with God outside of Jesus Christ. It's through and by him that man must make peace with God. There's no peace, and no peace is a result of sin. Look at Isaiah 57 and verse number 21. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Absence of peace is a result of sin. It's not sin against mankind, not sin against yourself, not sin against society, but a sin against God. There is no peace because of sin. There's a false peace, and that's the work of Satan. Look at Jeremiah 6 and verse number 14. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace, peace, when there is saying, peace, peace. That's the day in which we live. Everyone's crying, peace, peace, make peace. Instead of continuing the fighting, Israel and Hamas come to talks and work out a peace. Listen, any peace that comes through man is only temporary. It doesn't last. But this peace between God and man lasts eternally when one truly repents of their sin and by faith trusts Jesus as their Savior. When he changes their heart and their soul from being given over and controlled by sin and wickedness to the submission and looking to God in reverence and out of love. The way of peace is unknown by ignorant men. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse number 17. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, and the way of peace have they not known. The lost sinner has not ever known true peace in his life. True peace, peace with God. There's no way that he can make that peace on his own. He's totally dependent upon God. And the reason our society today, there is no peace and the turmoil is as it is because our society is given over to the idea and received the brainwashing of Satan and those societal groups in our society that proclaim there is no God. Want to complain that what exists come about by accident. Or by some freak of nature. Well, where'd nature come from, if that's the case? What have you? It's foolishness is what it is. The foolishness of man. It will not bring peace, but it brings turmoil. It brings strife because it turns men against God. It turns men from God to themselves. And men are created in order to look to God and worship and serve him in order to please him. But this kind of thing simply brings us to please mankind. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. The Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right. Peace is not known because of the ignorance of man. Yet he's ever learning. You look at the knowledge that man has. You look at the wonderful things that he's accomplished and that he's done. Why, that little thing we haul around with us that we just can't do without, that does everything. Why, you know what? I don't even have to unlock my motorhome with a key. I can just go out there and turn that thing on and punch that little place and it opens up automatic. We don't even have to get up out of our easy chair and go turn TV on anymore. Just click the button. These are marvel, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, no matter how smart man is, he's still ignorant of the facts and reality of life. The facts and reality of the world that we live in. He's ignorant because he knows nothing about God. He doesn't accept that there is God. You see, real knowledge and truth comes from God. And it comes through the Word of God. And if you want to know how that things come into existence, just get in there and begin in the book of Genesis and go through and write a divide and you'll find where everything came from, both good and evil. And by the way, the evil didn't come from God by any way or any means. Did you know in the Garden of Eden that pot would not have made you high? But when Adam sinned, a curse come upon God's creation. And that's the reason pot makes you high now. Not God, it wasn't his fault. You see? And when we get off into these things, It makes man even at more odds with God. And when he is at odds with God, there is no peace. He must give up his ignorance. And he must respond to the drawing and convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit draws all men. Salvation has appeared to all men. Apostle Paul, Spirit through Paul, made it clear. Every man has had opportunity. But it's because he chooses to be ignorant. He chooses to follow the ignorant. He chooses to forsake and not face reality. He's loses all of his common sense. And it takes to get common sense, you're going to get it out of the Bible. Yeah. Colossians 1 and verse 20 again. 1 and 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, Jesus shed his blood for our sins. Paid the price. And with that blood, he ascended up into heaven and he poured it out on the altar of God. And when God looks down, those that have repented and by faith trusted Christ as their Savior, those that have been saved by the grace of God are under that blood. And when he looks, that blood cleanses them in the eyes of God from all sin. Were it not for the blood, we'd be lost eternally and forever. But thank God he loved us enough that he shed that blood. And then he took it and poured it out on the altar of God. To cover your sins and mine. To take away that sin. To reconcile us to God. And when we're reconciled, didn't it Paul and his, or the Spirit through Paul in his epistles refer to the peace that passes all understanding? That's peace between God and man. That's peace between you and God and me and God. A peace that passes all understanding. It's by him reconciling all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know what? Sin took away God's creation, marred God's creation. But he's going to bring it back. He's going to bring it back. And did you know that the heaven that we talk about going to, it's wonderful and a wonderful place up in the north where God dwells right now. But the heaven that we need to look forward to is that new heaven and new earth. There's going to be heaven on earth, but not this old earth. It's going to be a brand spanking new earth. God will have redeemed it fully back to himself, all of his creation. And it will last forevermore. And those that have been reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ will enjoy that heavenly place. And by the way, there aren't any mansions whose streets are paved with gold. That's a city. And those who are faithful and true to him and give him glory in a New Testament church, they'll dwell in that city and walk those streets of gold. But those that are just saved yet so as by fire, those who suffer loss of reward and bridal relationship, they're going to walk in the light of that city. They're not going to tread those streets that are paved with gold. Listen, that peace, we have to have that peace between us and God so that we have an opportunity to enjoy that new heaven and new earth to its fullest. But we've bought into religion, and when it's the eternal heaven, why, there won't be any difference. We'll all be the same. That's hogwash. Brother, when you study and rightly divide and search out what the scriptures teach, the faithful are going to be in a different place than the unfaithful. The faithful of Israel are going to be in a different place than the unfaithful of Israel. And those that are saved, yet so as by fire, are going to have their place. So you see, after we're saved and have that peace between us and God, what we do with our lives is important and makes a difference. Now, we may take it lightly today and sell out for this life, but I'll tell you what, if you're a born again child of God, when you stand before Jesus Christ empty-handed, right then and there, you're no doubt going to weep tears and you're going to wish to God that you had lived your life differently. The gospel of peace is a message of reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 15, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The receiving of peace is the result of faith. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 15 and verse number 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you receive that peace, we're to abound in hope. What's that? That we can do great things for the Lord, looking to that time, our hope, the redemption of our body, to that time when we will be able to truly enjoy thoroughly that peace that God gives us, the peace that passes all understanding. Ephesians 2:14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Bible says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What? Oh, okay. It was a good verse anyway. 2 and 14. All right. Thank you. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, well, that's a message there. He's our peace. That's Jesus. You little kid, young kids, the reason why that Jesus is emphasized to you all the time is because Jesus is your hope. Jesus is your help. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is also your creator, because he created you in your mother's womb. Jesus is the one who sustains life, gives us the next breath that we breathe, the next step that we take. And if there are any blessings in our life, it comes from him. For he's our peace, who hath made both one, both us and God. We can be one with God through Jesus. and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's taken away that sin that separates us, that separated us eternally. Didn't he say that he removed our sins as far as the east is from the west? When he saved us, never to be remembered anymore. Because it was laid on his account, not ours. And with his account, he takes away that sin. And we can have peace between us and him. 1 Peter 2, verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Christ, my pattern, while I'm here on the earth. Christ, your pattern, while you're here on the earth. Christ, my power, because he is within me. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what? He's saying that this old flesh of mine could just rot. Yeah. Said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He could endure whatever that might come. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. When this flesh is weak, then the spirit is strong. And the spirit is where that relationship with God is, not the flesh. The spirit is where that peace is, not the flesh. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul was weak. What he did, you could see that it was by the grace of God when his flesh was weak. He came to bring peace between us and God. He came to take away sin and the blight that sin brought. He came that we might live a life that would be after the example that he set. That's why you ask a person, are you a Christian? Well, what's a Christian? It's Christ-like. Well, brother, we can't be Christ-like in the flesh. If the flesh rules and we're yielded to it, but if that spirit is strong and we keep that flesh weak, then through the spirit, we can commune with him. We can live a life that's pleasing to him. Well, that's impossible. The Apostle Paul did. Many examples in the Bible. Look at David. He was a sinner and did sinful things, but yet he was a man after God's own heart. Why was that? Because he knew how to make things right. He loved the Lord enough that he put aside this old flesh and that he'd yield to the Spirit. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, come to Jesus. Repent of your sins and by faith trust him as Savior. Come, turn from self and sin and turn and trust Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're saved and the Spirit of God's convicted your heart, don't push him away. Don't resist, but yield and surrender and let him have his will and his way. He wants to make peace with you. He wants to remove the sin from his people's life that separates them from him, as well as the sin of a lost person. If we confess, he's faithful and just, forgive and cleanse of all unrighteousness. What shall we sing?